take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. I'm gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network this Friday, January 26, 2024 edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Got a short public announcement to make while we're getting Pastor Chatfield into the show. The event tonight is going to be a Second Amendment town hall meeting with State Representative Neil Friske. It's going to be held at the Retro Firearms. They're located right there on Charlevoix Avenue across from Bay Harbor in Petoskey. 5 p.m. Come and ask questions about the new gun laws that go into effect. All gun owners are invited. It's going to be tonight at 5 p.m. State Representative Neil Friske. So let's see if we can get Pastor Chatfield added in. There he is there. I'm going to call him this way, see if this works this time. If not, we'll get him in and then add the studio, whatever we got to do. We're going to talk with him. The history lesson today, the discussion, is our past presidents and their accomplishments. So looking forward to that lesson plan. Love technology when it works, absolutely hate it when it doesn't. This has nothing to do with Jonathan Deke, the computer geek, or any of our engineers, Devin Lawrence or Del Reynolds, nothing like that. For some reason, this sound program does not like his cell phone, and we're not seeing him that way. So, okay, go ahead, be that way. See if we can do it this way. Connect, remove him from the call, and then go back into the process. Pastor Chatfield, are you there? Pastor Chatfield, calling once, calling twice, unavailable. All right, let's do something else here. Let's try this. Phil, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Doing well.
Good, good, good. You sent me a text message this morning for the lesson plan, and we just have a short minute or so left here in this short segment. Tee it up a little bit. What is exactly you want to talk about on the history lesson discussion today?
An overview of the presidents of the United States and what they accomplished. Now, so it's one of those things in which I didn't have any particular thing I was hot subject on. We said, well, just look at it, what the presidents and what they accomplished. But then you start looking these things up online on the internet. Well, so-and-so accomplished this. And I started to say to myself, well, this is by the esteemed historians. I said, well, I guess I'm an esteemed historian. I'll tell you my two cents on this whole thing. And what they say often is what it's not what I disagree with it. It's like when you talk about the progressive era in the beginning of the 20th century, Teddy Roosevelt, Howard Taft, Woodrow Wilson, those three presidents are called progressive. Look what they accomplished. Well, in a lot of ways, I say what some people are calling progress, I'm not calling progress. And so we're going to look at the nature of the presidency. What do you expect out of a president? What do you expect him to do? So be it. With a lot of people, they just want more laws.
Got it. Yeah. Well, and really, what is the constitutional role? What is it that it says he can do or exactly. She?
Maybe. Exactly. Exactly. That's we'll start. We'll start Article 2 of our Constitution.
Short break with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
I am Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a missionary physician who's traveled the world, I've seen refugee crisis. Our open borders are causing a national refugee crisis. The failed Biden administration is paying illegal immigrants to enter our country and bring disease, terrorism, trafficking, inflation, and crime. As your next U.S. Senator, I have the international experience to close our borders and secure our homeland. I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell and am prepared to close the floodgates. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment with our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. So, past presidents and their accomplishments. And you're saying it's all rooted and begins, starts and ends with the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's what I say. But the average person today, they don't know, don't care to know. they don't care what the sure. Constitution is. They don't care. The average person. And frankly, sometimes even conservatives, they want the president to do something about it, even if it's not in his prescribed role in the Constitution to do something about it. When you look at the United States Constitution, there are four sections concerning the executive branch, the president. Very little. Let me read you. First of all, here's the oath of office. Here's the oath of office that every president must take. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He swears to God, and by the way, and there's a whole study here, when you take an oath or an affirmation, and that the word oath is in the Constitution, it is about swearing to God that you're going to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't take the oath. Because it was presumed that people were honorable people. It was presumed that God existed and that to some measure you would do that. So the first of all, your first obligation is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. It's not what I think the Constitution should say. It's what the Constitution says. And I will also go a step further. And Andrew Jackson said this. He said that when I took an oath to the Constitution, I took an oath to the Constitution as I understand it. Oh, well, what's the difference there, Pastor? Because now people say you take an oath to the Constitution as the Supreme Court defines it, not as you understand it. So in other words, if the Constitution says something very specific in it, and you can read English, but the United States Supreme Court says something otherwise, what do you go with? I mean, we've gone to the point now, and I think it was Justice Black that said, the Constitution means what we say it means. And that's what most people think today. When you start talking about constitutional issues, they'll say, well, the Supreme Court ruled in Roe v. Wade, or the Supreme Court ruled in the Obergefell decision, or the Supreme Court ruled in whatever, Marbury versus Madison. I mean, all these, it's what they ruled. Yep, I get that. And as Abraham Lincoln said, that you should weigh that, what the Supreme Court says. But Abraham Lincoln said, the intentions of the lawgiver is the law. What did they mean? You have to interpret it in its historical context. And I talked about this last week or a couple of weeks ago about, about the, the 14th Amendment and insurrection. What did they mean by insurrection?
Exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, they're talking about the Civil War. Come on. You know that's what they meant. Now, they're taking that completely out of its context and taking a riot that happened on January 6, 2021 and saying it was an insurrection and President Trump had a part in it, which is ridiculous.
Yep.
And they know better. They know better than that, or they should, but most people don't know better. So you're hearing it here. It's got to be understood in its historical context. Okay, so that's the first thing. You're supposed to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. You take an oath, President, to do that. And here's something again. Section 3 of our Constitution says, he shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers, and then the president shall. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. In other words, his job is to enforce the laws. He shall take care that the laws shall be faithfully executed. Truly, everybody, it's not the president's job to make the law. Again, we've gotten out of kilter here. We really have. The court, the judicial branch, the third branch of our government, has gotten way, way too much power. The executive branch has got way too much power, and the legislative branch has too little power. In other words,
and I would add the judicial branch has created power that they never had. So
of course, yes,
we are way out of balance, way out of whack.
Exactly right. That's just true. That's true. And so a lot of the times when we'll start saying, oh, let me just bring one up. But Richard Nixon, the Clean Air and the Clean Air Act of 1970. Okay, he signed that. Oh, that was a great, we want clean air. And granted, there was a time when pollution was very bad in the United States, and maybe, yes, something like that should have been passed. But I think that that time is long gone, and it is time to repeal some of these laws. I know, what, you want pollution? I don't want pollution, I just want some freedom. In other words, some people think that whenever there's a problem, you turn to government for the answer. Oh, there's a problem, you turn to government. There's a problem, new law, new executive order, something where the government steps in and solves a problem. But our Constitution provides for limited government. There are some problems that were not created by government and they can't be solved by government, and government should not step in. That is just the way it is. But we've now really got flipped around here. Okay, let me talk about George Washington. What did he accomplish? He was obviously the first president of the United States and set some very important precedents that were followed for centuries. And I don't know if you knew this, but every year it has been practiced in the United States Senate, and I believe it still is, that they will read George Washington's farewell address in the United States Senate. They'll read it. At one time, it was the Declaration of Independence, number one. Number two, the Constitution. Number three, George Washington's farewell address. It was almost like a third founding document, because he gave some really good advice, and he set some really good precedents. He had some really good accomplishments. If nothing else, just backing off. Sometimes that's what you have to do to fulfill your oath to the Constitution. I will say this. The first precedent he set, and I think it's a good accomplishment, I think it's good. After he did the oath of office, which I just read to you, after he said that, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, he added the words, so help me God. Now, that's not in the Constitution. However, I mean, it set the tone, the precedent, that we're going to beseech God for help. And he said a lot of things during his presidency, made a lot of points saying, you know, we need to beseech the Father of Lights. We need to beseech heaven. A lot of people will make try to make George Washington a deist, which is ridiculous. He was not. He was a member in good standing of the Anglican Church and believed all the doctrines of the Anglican Church. And he was a believer in God. Now, he did not wear it on his sleeve, so to speak, but he was a believer in God in accomplishments. He set the country in a stable direction. He kept us out of the conflict between Great Britain and France. He wanted to steer a neutral course. He wanted limited government. And without him, there's a biographer who wrote his biography called The Indispensable Man. George Washington was probably indispensable. We don't know who else could have done what he did. First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. He was a great president. Okay, that's his accomplishment. I mean, so many things. Number two, John Adams. What did John Adams do? Well, John Adams did the impossible, served admirably behind George Washington. Whoever would want to follow a man that was so beloved by everybody. And so John Adams steps in, and he's already being ridiculed from left and right. I mean, he was a Federalist. He kind of followed in the directions of Washington. He kept Washington's cabinet by and large. But he was on the one hand, his old friend Jefferson was working against him, but even supposedly a guy in his party, Hamilton, was working against him. He was in the middle. What did he accomplish? He kept the country on that good, stable path. And, you know, one of the things he said, he put it on his gravestone, John Adams did, he avoided going to war with France. Because during his administration in the late 1790s, we were on the verge of going to war with France. The Federalist Party wanted us to go to war with France, And Adam says, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, eventually we go to war with Britain in 1812 because this ongoing conflict between the British and the French was going on. It was like went on for hundreds of years, over 100 years.
Sure, sure.
Especially when Napoleon comes on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Major wars in Europe, we were caught in the middle. And the accomplishment of John Adams was to keep us from going to war with France because we were not ready for that.
And not only not ready for that, but as I'm sitting here listening, I'm reliving the HBO series, John Adams, the book, all the information that was in there. He was, if not an ambassador, he spent a lot of time in France trying to get funding for the war. So for the Revolutionary War. So he had a relationship with France, and he's like, wait a minute, guys. We're totally in your debt for the way you helped us win and defeat, you know, Great Britain in our Revolutionary War. But we're in a situation where we're a fledgling country. We're just getting our feet under us. We can't get involved in this war. Is that how it was, in your opinion, how he presented that argument back then as to why we never got into that war, that conflict?
That's pretty good. Remember, though, too, he was the first ambassador to Great Britain. And he met George III. And the Federalists kind of leaned toward Britain, and the Republicans leaned toward France. In other words, the Jeffersonians, they were more friendly with France, whereas Hamilton and Adams were more friendly toward Britain. In his own party, the Federalists were clamoring for war with France, and Adams would not go there.
Yep.
He kept us out of that war, which was good. That's an accomplishment. Yeah, he made a couple. The big mistake he made is, you've heard me talk about, signing the Alien Sedition Act, which basically cost him the election of 1800, which produced our third president. Well, let me give you the last accomplishment of Adams. When he lost, he got up and he went home. Now, it's true, he didn't go to the inauguration. That's true.
Thomas Jefferson.
For Thomas Jefferson, just like Trump didn't go to the inauguration for Joe Biden, and he was criticized for it.
Yep.
But he did leave the White House. John Adams left the White House. So this is the first – things like this just don't happen a lot, where you have power, you're voted out of the office, you pack up, and you go home. That's what John Adams did.
Right.
It was peaceful transition of power is an important, extremely important precedent, which brings us to – Thomas Jefferson. Now, Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, he said this in his inaugural. We're all Republicans. We're all Federalists. In other words, he truly tried to, you know, he says, look, we call ourselves different names, but, you know, we're men pretty much of the same principle. We lean one way or another. He really did try to bring the country together, and he understood that was important. We're all Federalists. We're all Republicans. And he did pretty well. Again, he was caught in between the war with Britain and France. And you've heard me talk about the Embargo Act of 1807, which he signed, which probably was a mistake, but who knows? He was in a tight spot. What are we going to do when both Britain and France are telling us not to trade with the other?
Right.
How are we going to survive? It was very difficult. And then you had all the political things. Again, let me just tell you this. While he was president, New England did not like Jefferson. New England territory. They did not like Jefferson. They were even discussing breaking away from the Union because they didn't like Jefferson. But he kept us out of that war too. So bring us to Madison. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Excellent. Perfect spot for the bottom of the hour news break. I'm Chuck and Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We'll be right back.